Welcome back to What Jail Is Like. That was M.I.J. Does that stand for anything in particular?
Not that I know of. It's just M.I.J. The name of the album is The Radio Goodnight. The name of the song was The Radio Goodnight.
I'd like to make it easy for you chimps.
Yeah, because you're dumb. So you can pound that. Just pound along. I've been hearing a lot of good things about them, and I'll admit to have never actually having heard it until just then, but I liked it. You know, emo is such a... It can be such a hackneyed thing now, and... Nobody wants to be called emo. Those guys are proudly displaying their emo colors.
I was talking about music with some strangers yesterday. Not complete strangers, you know, friends of friends sort of thing. And I was mentioned emo, and they were very, very confused. And I was confused that they were confused, because they seemed reasonably knowledgeable people. Yeah. And as it turns out, they thought I was saying hemo, which I think is a genre that people should start up right away. Tons of
hey, do you bleed? This song is called My Heart Bleeds a Lot if you bump me.
Rockin' mics.
But,
vandals.
It was pretty funny, just real quick sideline, is this friend of our bass player's wrote a paper called What is Emo for his, like, persuasive right class or something, and he made up an interview with me and the bass player from our band, and one of the things he said was like, emo is characterized by crying. The vocalist it will scream and scream, and then there'll be a slow part where the vocalist will cry. And I'm thinking, it's real funny for, like, somebody who, like, is familiar with the genre and, like, all the conceits of the genre and all that stuff. But for somebody who doesn't know it, like, the person who's reading this is like, this is the stupidest guy. Like, I'm never going to listen to this, ever. Mm-hmm. He's like, and then they cry. And then he said that we don't cry. But I have been accused of, but I, as the vocalist, have been accused of whining.
But you still account as emo?
He gave us a new title.
Oh, okay.
Like some offshoot.
Well, that was nice.
That was pretty funny. Yeah, because I hate...
I think there's a really good persuasive paper to be written in somewhere, you know, like, they have not sold out!
Yeah, exactly.
Sort of thing.
I wish I'd sell out in a second, yeah. As I've said often. You want me to write songs for Christina Aguilera? For $15 million?
Aguilera?
I just wrote one called, Hey Baby, Yeah. There, that's the words. Hey, baby! Yeah! Let's do that. Repeat ad infinitum with a... in the background, but, like, really poorly programmed.
Some sexy dance moves.
Yeah. And some boobs. Anyway, I think we're getting into a bit here, weren't we?
Hey, baby.
Don't you love
when
people refer to it as a bit? I met a wacky DJ. I can't say where, but I was somewhere. And there was a promotion going on with a wacky DJ from the local thing. And he's like, hey, wacky, I'm wacky! And I had nothing but contempt for the man.
Ah, wacky DJ.
Every time he came by our table, I just went, wacky! And he's like, ah!
I would like to put all the wacky DJs in a giant burlap sack and smack them against a rocky cliff.
And then drown them.
And throw them into the ocean.
Mm-hmm. All right, so anyway, what are we going to do?
The genius burlap sack.
On the way down, though, there'd be some great one-liners going on. Some zingers.
So we go, yeah, dinner for two. You know, being given out to anyone who happened to be in that burlap.
Free the new Third Eye Blind City.
Yeah, okay. Right about now, a segment which we haven't done in far too long, and you may have noticed the just that Champaign-Urbana is a big mass of problems. This correlates to the fact that we haven't done this segment in a while, because this segment is something where we take you, we sit you down, we calm you down, we listen to you, at least as much as we feel necessary. We kind of tune you out after a little while and find something else to do, especially if there's something shiny in the area. But then we give you an answer.
Yeah.
You have a problem, we answer it.
That's right. There's about a 15-minute grace period before your words to us turn into tiny daggers in our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So in that 15 minutes, you know, we're all ears.
Yeah. Then the daggers start and I have to take the pills.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do right now is demonstrably make the world a better place. Pick some of those sand sacks up off the street.
Do you know how to demonstrate?
Open up that burlap
all
sack.
All over this place. Just give me the word.
And let the happy loose. Let the healing begin.
That's right.
And a little segment called...
Free advice is better than no advice, so shut your damn ungrateful mouth.
Woo! Radio advice column.
We got a lot of problems on the docket today, boys.
All right.
No, we have to keep going.
We have to do that bit of the intro?
Yes, we do. I can't handle it, man.
Well, since we got a lot of... We've got... There's one problem on the dock that...
You're a little rusty.
I'm trying to tie it in. If there's a problem, we'll solve it.
Yeah.
Or Yeah.
You know, being a pirate, it's not always easy for me to make friends. I'm out on the open seas, the roar, the waves, the hiss of the sea spray, being crapped on by gulls. It's not a nice life. My only friends are the rats and the galleys. I don't even know what a galley is. I've been on the ship for 8 months and I haven't found the galley.
Excuse me, do you know where the galley is?
No!
Alright, I'll just look for myself.
I ate my own hand 3 weeks ago. Not because we were out of food. We had plenty of food, but it was something to do. So as a pirate, I don't have a lot of friends, but I am good at listening to anyone that may talk to me, or simply the voices that I hear in my head on a daily basis. And while I'm deeply engaged in the process of listening, I never forget to check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
Guys?
What?
Got some warm Mr. Pibb over here. Somebody a little help?
That's something to do.
Little help.
Okay, tying those two together with a real life thing. Actually, I when I was driving up to Chicago this weekend, I pulled off in a little town called Mantino to get a Mr. Pibb at the Amoco, and along the road they had a big billboard for a settlement project that they're doing near there, big group of prefab homes called Gull Landings. I contemplated that billboard. I was thinking, who does Mantino think it's kidding? A gull has never landed in Mantino.
But they may have want a place where gulls landed routinely.
They may have bust a gull in at one point. He waddles off, waves, snap a couple photos. Yeah.
I don't know. Mantino, Amoco, that's a lot of vowels going on.
Yeah, there's O's.
They're almost all accounted for.
Sometimes.
Except for I's and U's, which is almost
and
half.
Y's.
And sometimes.
All right, so the first problem this evening comes from a young lady named Laura Shetkis, who's, I would suppose, in Urbana, via a young man named James Johnson.
Really? So they got a chain going off.
James the Juggernaut Johnson.
JJ is what I like to call it. We refer to him down here in the What Gels Like Studios.
Via Laura Luscious Shetkis.
Luscious, you know, whatever. Laura's got a problem. She's been listening to the show, and she wants to know why Mark sounds Canadian on air. It's really bothering her. She wants to know why he sounds Canadian on the air. So I told her that, Laura, we can help you. Just have another cold, cold malt liquor. Sit back and listen to the show.
It was very strange to me. I met a guy who happened to have listened to the tape of our radio show that I'd given to a friend, and he had listened to the tape, met me, and said, "Wow, you don't sound anything like what I'd picture." I don't know. What's going on with my voice?
I don't know, man. You're smooth as butter.
I'm gonna tell him, Mark. I don't want to keep it a secret anymore.
No,
I'm gonna tell him.
Didn't you see the insider?
The public needs to know.
There'll be a bullet in your mailbox.
Back in 1963, 2 years after we'd been on the air, we had a huge, huge fan base in Canada. Sure, we weren't broadcast there, but the tapes were making their way around.
And let me tell you, this was a top-notch base.
The tapes were circulating in the radio underground, and everybody's hearing them. Every stereo had them. Every kid in his basement is cranking up the WJIL, Wigil Underground tapes. They were having little parties, little bonfires, and listening to us prophesize over the air. Sure, the copies were crappy, but man, the content was all there. They got what we were going for. They felt us, man. Those were our people.
And let me get back to the base real quick. This is a very nice base that they had. Sprawling complex.
Sprawling. And so, us being three fantastic members comprising the entire Wigil unit, said we're going to go up to the heart of the manor. We're going to visit Canada, okay? We're going to be embraced by our audience. It was fantastic. We had everything planned. We had dates lined up. Then, one day after our killer show, the screaming fans, a vat of toxic waste spilled down on Mark.
Ow!
And melded him together forever with a horde of young Canadians. Their minds melded. Their dreams, their goals, their skills welded into one amorphous blob. Sure, years of reconstructive surgery formed him into a human that would be passable in society again. And the doctors promised him that someday he'll be able to live a normal life again.
Once they find out how to give him a clavicle.
But until then, he was forced to sound like a Canadian.
Well, Lord, that's one thing. That's one thing you can believe. I think the problem's all you. I think that the last time we were in, our friendly neighbors to the north. You have to understand, real quick, the Canadian life cycle. A Canadian hatches from a cocoon. injects its living eggs into another life form.
Oh.
Matures.
Oh, don't stop.
Drinks some beer. Plays some hockey. Moves to Toronto.
Wait, you
and then dies.
You forgot the growing a mullet phase.
Oh, I forgot the growing the mullet. Well, that's the pupa stage. It's the mullet. Last time you were there, and you have to be usually when you come back across the border, you get a really good de-canucking. They just spray down. They take the off your clothes. They spray you down with this de-canucking agent. All the Canucks dead. Obviously, a couple of microscopic baby Canucks managed to infiltrate your ear canals. And much like the little bugs in Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, they're now, or actually more like the babelfish from the very popular Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. They're now filtering all sound that you hear into Canadian.
It's true.
Which is very close to English, just dumber.
And I think I'd like to point out right now that the de-canucking process is provided for by an association called Clearly Not Canadian. They patented the chemical and spray you down.
I also thought, I forgot about the crucial phase in the life system, which is when they all bitch about how America doesn't have nationalized health care.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I've also heard that people, the irreputable sorts, are using Canadians to cut cocaine these days.
Oh.
In fact, Canadians are actually cheaper than laundry detergent. So, I mean, I'm not implying.
Wow, Canadians are cheaper than the Drano they used to use.
All kinds of secrets coming out on a Wigil tonight.
Tangent one. What Joe's like would now like to give you a sampling of the top five objects that are most closely associated with the word widgel. Number five, a tiny little stick with a little fluffy part on the end of it.
Number four, a knife fashioned out of petrified doo-doo.
Number three, a charming little dog.
Number two, a nightlight in the shape of Ed Asner.
Number one, the magical bird that wields the knife that's been fashioned out of petrified doo-doo.
End tangent one. Woo! So, Mark, did you have...
audio footnote. Eric, come on in.
Okay.
Just think about it. Well, let's... And I was wondering if you have any particular problem with people who refer to us as Widgel-like.
Yeah.
Long setup.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Because in that case, they may actually... I wouldn't punch them outright because they might be referring to us as we are like ourselves, that
yeah,
it's Widgel-like
yeah.
humor.
Or it okay. just might be like blatant praise, which you never want to punch.
And I'd really only be... Well, I'd be really offended if they said, you know, WJIL-like. Then yeah, I'd be like,
that's trouble.
Because that's what jail is like. Like,
yeah.
But I think if they're describing ask or Wigilian.
Wigilian.
Or of the Wigil.
Of or like the Wigil. Wigilian.
Wigilian.
Hey, do you have any Cheetos?
I'm going to end the audio footnote. You guys are looking ravenous.
You never have anything in your audio footnote for
yeah,
us.
I mean, like, when you guys come in, I've got, like, a nice antipasta tray.
I got some okay, macaroni and cheese if anybody wants it. I got no use for this stuff. I'm on the DL now.
The DL list?
The DL list. God, I'm an ass.
A nutty footnote. Okay, the suggestion I'm going to give to Laura is I would worry. I would worry a lot. The situation you may find yourself in, I don't know exactly how this would work, but you may think that you're surrounded by some of your closest friends, you know, a sexy young man, your charming, personable friends that you think you've known throughout all of college. These may be Canadians in disguise. I don't know if you've ever seen the film from the 50s and remade a few times, Canada Needs Woman. But it's true. It's out there. It was a documentary. Canada will often sweep down into the South, into the United States of America, kidnap the women, because up in Canada it's very, very cold, and they only have a couple men and polar bears up there, and they're looking to procreate their species. Canada Needs Women. So they recreate this entire setup that makes it look just like where you've been before, to try to convince you that you nothing's different, that you're still in the United States of America, before they finish the brainwashing and go in for the kill. So what I would suggest that you do is run screaming at everybody in the room and attempt to tear their hair off, and see if their hair comes off to reveal a cheap mullet. And if it does, you've been abducted by Canadians.
And then that's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's hard to be brought back to the United States.
It is. And I mean, obviously the conditioning process has already begun. They're starting to make you think.
Right, you're starting to doubt like whether Canadian. You don't want to go back.
Right. Yeah. They've been forced to bring you back, Bacon.
Right.
You're not the same. Not the same.
A host of solutions to a hell of a problem. That's what we try to do here at Wigil. With our wily Wigilian ways.
Yeah.
It hurts.
I'm hearkening back to the knife made out of doo-doo when you talk about our Wigilian ways.
That's, yeah.
A magical bird.
Yeah, so there you go, Shadkiss. Miss Shadkiss, you can take that or leave that. You know, hopefully we can help you out there. So let me just...
Yeah, Terry called.
Again?
Yeah, he graduated, you know.
Oh.
And he got a job as an engineer, civil engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Not enthused.
Really?
Money's good. He's got a place to be. Everything seems to be falling right on track with Terry. Just not excited about joining corporate America, you know what I mean? Not excited about corporate America at all. He's got a tie, you know, that he's wearing. He already feels like it might be a noose, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He's got to wear a suit every day. He's got to deal with people that he might particularly probably wouldn't like. And so even though it seems like he's right on path for the American dream, he seems jaded already, and he's just out the gate.
Wow.
So Terry needs some advice. Now I'm going to go ahead and say that we might not be the... we are seemingly, anyway, not, you know, the appropriate people to be giving this advice.
But appearances can deceive.
Appearances deceive all the time. Which is why we're going to lay it on thick with the cool and creamy advice for you, Terry. About how to avoid the inevitable corporate doldrums.
Okay. Well, the first thing is if it's really looking like you know, the job just isn't going to work out for you, you can go back to school and get a degree to prepare yourself for an exciting new job as a homeless person. That is a quick degree program. It's only 2 years.
Yeah.
You can
quick
transfer,
but intensive.
Yeah.
Let's not fool them.
You can transfer over a lot of your U of I classes, mm-hmm, if you've been to U of I, so that's going to help you a whole lot.
I think also you can break down boundaries, corporate boundaries, defy. Go to your new job wearing long underwear with the crotch cut out.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of wearing a tie, maybe a honey baked ham around your neck on a chain. Maybe instead of actually typing in your work, just bounce a small child on your lap. These are all things that, you know, you can do to occupy your time.
Right.
And kind of, like I said, push the corporate boundaries.
Yeah, you don't want to be harmful to those around you, but right, at the same time,
open their eyes to the individuality that each person can contribute to the corporate machine.
I think what you should do to keep it interesting is to really try to anger your coworkers. Do things like don't punch in. work for free and talk about how you're working for free and just how rewarding your job is. You know, bring donuts for everybody, but bring a lot of donuts and bring them every day. Not just once in a while, man. Every day. Design and pass out corporate-themed, like, you know, company-themed screensavers.
Right. As a tangent, make sure every day you bring only the plain donuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And piles of plain donuts.
Plain, just donut.
Because then the gesture's there, but, you know, nobody's really receiving any kind of satisfaction at all from them.
Put up pictures of your coworkers' kids, if they don't have their pictures up, and say how you just felt that little Timmy was being neglected and, you know, somebody should love him.
And then put up pictures of your coworkers on your desk.
That's always nice.
Put up pictures of your coworkers as kids.
Or put up pictures of your coworkers at their desks on your desk.
Or put up pictures of you with pictures of your coworkers at their desks on your desk.
It's like a hall of mirrors. It never ends.
Another good thing is to kiss your boss a lot. Just kiss him or her. Just not in a, you know, not in a, in a sexual type of way.
In an ambiguous way that could be interpreted.
In that European kind of. Mm-hmm.
I was just taking their head in your hands and pulling it gently towards you, kissing them on the forehead. Then.
That's another good one. That's another one. Pat a lot of people on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Pack everybody lunches.
Every day.
Just every day, coming with everybody's lunch in a brown bag.
Put them in the fridge.
Put them in the fridge.
Don't label them.
No, do all the dishes, but do them every day. These things, some of these things only work if you do them consistently, because then they become creepy. Yeah.
Join the softball team.
Join the softball
team. And play really well.
If they
play
don't have a softball, start a softball team.
Take it seriously and clap a lot during the games.
Better yet, start like a lacrosse team or possibly a soft schlong highlight team. So that you've done something. Again, it's along the lines of the bringing in the plain donuts. You know, you've organized some kind of athletic thing, you know. But I was just waiting for the tape to turn over because this stuff's golden.
Yeah, we don't want to miss
this. I don't want the soft schlong highlight.
And
stuff.
I also want it to be recorded when I say that James the Juggernaut Johnson is the master of the soft schlong highlight.
I'm hurt. But, you know, so.
And be sure to take photos of your coworkers while they play softball.
Taking photos of you at your desk. you know.
With kids.
Bring a foosball table in and put it, like, and just have it, you know, in your cubicle.
Yeah. Talk to everybody on their lunch hours. Mm-hmm. Sit down real close next to them.
Find out where everybody's going, if they're going out for the lunch
offer
hour.
Offer to babysit for people to go out on weekend trips and stuff.
Yeah. All kinds of things. Bring everybody coffee, but which is slightly too much sugar. So then again, the gesture's there, but you know nobody reaps any benefits.
And the punchline is that when you've actually had enough and you go storm in there and you start shooting people, that they'll all go, "We never expected it.
He was so nice."
Well, I guess there was that strange banshee howl that he would let out each hour as he realized that he hadn't checked the toner on the Xerox machine in at least 59 minutes.
Yeah, so don't forget to include the strange banshee howl. Yeah. It's an important part of the whole process.
Yelp.
You're building a mystery here, someone once said, and a mystery includes a lot of layers,
and a lot of lather.
And a lot of lather. Oh, yes. Coat the whole thing in lather.
Come to work wearing
just
nothing
like
but
your
lather.
Naked body.
A somewhat alternative strategy they want to suggest for Terry is, since Terry is a civil engineer, one way, if you want to keep making the money, but you don't want to do the work, you don't want to have to go into the office, you may have heard of a little magical elf who lives out there called Workman's Comp, and you want to try to score with Workman's Comp.
Right.
You are a civil engineer, so try to put yourself in situations where you're going to get hurt on
Seriously,
the job.
First day on the job. Lunch hour. Pull the refrigerator down onto your body.
Ow!
Crush beneath, sure, but if you take the fall right, you've only broken an arm or two.
Mm-hmm. When you're changing the toner on the Xerox machine, accidentally switch that task with changing the water in the water cooler.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Maybe trip on a little little wrinkle in the carpet and impale yourself on your pen cup.
If your assignment has been to design a retaining wall, inadvertently build the wall on your foot.
I don't know how it happened. I was also going to go, since you're a civil engineer, I had one other route, is to attempt to get time off with pay by misunderstanding your job and becoming as a barbaric engineer. So, you know, just let your beard grow. Don't shower, shave, wear a hat with helmet, like the horn, not with horns. And just storm the office a lot. Burn your coworkers' files. Claim their cubicles in the name of your Germanic country.
Maybe let loose a flock of wild-eyed ravens into the office.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So they can get their peck on.
Make sure... Make sure that you're always drinking ale.
A frosty mug of ale on your desk at all times, yes. Terry.
A flagon of mead, if you will.
And you will, if you know it's good for you.
And make sure to invest in a Chevy War Barge. They have those.
Send anonymous emails to your whole floor.
Mm-hmm. Gather the entire floor around your Chevy War Barge and take a photo of them.
Put on your desk.
It does.
If your supervisor asks you how the project is going when you've been asked to build a retaining wall, go to the store, get a cheap postcard of China, of the Great Wall of China, crudely X out China, and hand it in and declare that to be your wall.
That's the funniest. All right, I'm sorry. That might be the funniest thing that I've heard on this show in about a year.
It's a good thing I flipped that too.
Oh, that was really funny.
What was even funnier about it was it sounded strangely Canadian.
That was funny.
Constantly be sniffing piles and piles of NutraSweet at your desk, such that everybody thinks that it's cocaine, but it's afraid to ask. Then so act like it's cocaine. That's the important part.
But leave the wrappings invisible.
Yeah. Ask a lot of people if they want to go to the disco on Friday night. You know, like, hey guys, you guys want to go down to the disco Friday, huh?
And do the finger waving gesture.
Yeah, the finger in a circle. Want to go down to the disco Friday?
Pretend you're setting your stapler down, but actually set it down on your coworkers' heads. And then when you need your stapler again, go looking for it on your coworker's head.
Make sure that to discuss every day at the water cooler, ask everybody whether they saw last night's 80-second rebroadcast of the Seinfeld episode that they had on last night. Yeah. You know?
Blow up Dilbert comics to human size. Mount them on cardboard so that you have human-sized Dilbert cutouts at every turn.
Nice one. And then talk about how funny they are. Isn't that funny?
Cut out the heads of the Dilbert characters and replace them with photographic blow-ups of the heads of your coworkers.
Nice. Yep.
Or replace them with the real heads of your coworkers.
That's if you're doing the barbaric engineer thing.
Yeah.
See, they're cross-referenced.
You're given a lot of options here, Terry. We want you to season them all, or a combination thereof.
Or season them all.
Or season them all with salt and pepper and a little sage.
And some essence.
Whatever you do, we think you're guaranteed success because, you know, as Eric was nice enough to point out before, everything we say is golden.
It's gold.
Yeah, wow. We dealt with Terry more thoroughly than we've dealt with anyone.
We flipped him over like a newborn babe and smacked him. Pow! The bottom was pink.
Yeah.
Put some diaper powder on and wrap the new diaper on him.
Okay, let's just do a real quick then with Warren and give him a much less complete answer. Warren's got a problem. His apartment is a pigsty. He's moving out in August, and his apartment is so dirty he just doesn't want to deal with it. He's wondering if he can get away with just taking
off.
Just
taking off.
Blue.
Okay.
That's a very short answer for him.
Tripleberry Tyrannosaurus.
Welcome to Rantoul.
All right, great, Warren. Hope that helps you out. Hope that clears some things up.
I think, Warren, if you find that you put all those answers on a list and treat it like a big jumble, and you'll unravel the real answer.
Come up with something.
You may want to consider tattooing it on your chest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Block letters. Impact.
In jumble form.
Impact font, 55-point font. Yep.
Invite strangers to complete the jumble on your chest.
It's also a party game. See, Warren, we're giving you oodles of information and just less time, so don't feel chipped.
Yeah, all right.
You jerk.
359-9338 is the phone number if you've got anything to say to us. Plenty of What Jails Like coming up. 45 minutes of it, in fact. And right about next is public service announcements.